Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the ish gets real.
Shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
By the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the right now.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Just the two of us. Horrible. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. You and I.
How long have you been waiting for that?
A long time. A long, long, long time. My name is Corey. You're listening to the Video Game Bang, brought to you by Energy Esports, which means, I guess in a way, we're brought to you by the San Francisco Shock, the Overwatch League's official team of San Francisco.
Oh, it's official now?
It was today, yeah. Today was the big announcement.
Oh, there you go.
The name is out there. Also brought to you by Oblivion Comics and Coffee. There's no reason, if you are a geek, A, B, you like comics, C, you like coffee, D, you like the D, then you want to go get
I don't think that's...
Well, you can go to Oblivion Comics anyways and get some toast. The Bang Toast is actually the most popular toast.
Is it now?
From what I hear, it's actually the most popular toast.
Wow.
And it's got our logo on it. It's great marketing. Go there, enjoy the toast. And also, Mainframe USA. They make some really dope clothes. And they send us cool stuff every once in a while, so we say their name at the beginning of the episode. That's how sponsorships work.
Yeah, that's pretty much how sponsorships work. Yeah.
It's the economics of podcasting when you're on a low level, like the video game band.
Yeah.
How do you feel, man? This is like the old days, Aaron. It's just me and you, buddy.
I feel like we're missing one person.
I feel like we're Timon and Pumbaa.
Her name is Tracy Cola.
Tracy Colon?
Yeah, Tracy Cola.
Who's that?
I don't know. I'm trying to get on our Twitch chat, and she was the first one on the first page here. Pretty cute girl, so.
Okay. All right.
I'm trying to jump into the chat room so I can see who's all in the chat room, but Twitch is just horrible when it comes to their beta.
What are some other... I think at this point we've become a pretty iconic duo. We've been doing this for longer than anybody.
I don't know about longer than anybody, but...
Anybody in the world who's ever been a duo doesn't last this long.
I mean, Batman and Robin were longer.
No, how many Robins were there? Do you think... Come on.
And they were not partners.
Come on, that's different.
What do you mean they weren't partners?
They weren't partners. Batman's running the show.
They were partners, full-blown partners.
No, they weren't full-blown partners.
Yeah.
Robin was always the low man on the totem pole.
So then he became Nightwing, and then what?
And then he went solo. Mm. It was a Batman and Nightwing.
So you're looking at, okay, what about Siskel and Ebert?
What about
Penn and Teller?
No, see? They don't even like it. They actually hate each other behind the scenes.
Yeah, I know, but they've been together for like, that's got to be like 30 years.
Well, we're creeping up on that. We're creeping up.
Your math is terrible.
We're like, Michael and Joe Jackson?
Is that what you're talking about?
We're like the Little Rascals guys. Who was that?
Buckwheat
and the other little kid.
I don't remember who Buckwheat's Road Dog was.
That's the other one we're like. Road Dog and Mr. S.
Well, that wasn't his name. I think it was Jesse James.
The Road Dog, Jesse James, and Billy Gunn, the badass.
There you go, Billy Gunn. That's what
he
was.
Mr. Ass. No, he was Mr. Ass.
Yeah, the Famouser.
The Famouser, yeah.
Which, oh, okay, so just a quick sidetrack. I was scrolling down Facebook maybe yesterday or something like that.
Why?
Trust me, if I could deactivate Facebook, my Facebook is basically memes. That's what I go on there for.
Yeah.
But somebody posted up a video, I don't know who it was, that was like the top like shock factors of WWE throughout the history. And I saw that stupid WrestleMania that we are not WrestleMania. What is it? Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
That we just saw the Shane jumping off the cage.
No, that wasn't on there.
That was,
it? Was
on there. And I was like, why did they think? And they showed everything else. They showed the Mankind falling off the cage.
That should have been number one.
They showed Mankind falling through the cage. They showed when the Big Show
came got, through the ring.
Got no. When the Big Show got suplexed off the top rope.
Oh, and the whole thing
and
busted.
The whole thing busted through. Yeah. They showed when Shane jumped off the Titantron
with Steve Blackman.
Yes, with Steve when Blackman was hitting him with the stick and he fell off the yeah. So they were showing classic stuff. And then they threw that one in there, and I was like, how dare you? How dare you put that garbage next to it to quality? There was one in there where Eddie Guerrero, I think?
Yeah.
Or either him or who's the one that killed his family? Chris Benoit. One of those two.
Damn, I don't mean to laugh at the man who killed his family, yeah. But it's either Eddie Guerrero or the guy who murdered his entire family.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those two.
One of those two.
I get them mixed up.
But they got busted in the head so much that it was like pouring liquid. Like you could see the actual...
Oh, it was that Eddie Guerrero.
It was Eddie?
It was a bad cut job.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah, he actually probably almost died, I think.
It was pouring blood out. And I was like, see, you don't get that anymore. You do not get that anymore.
Yeah.
Because you'd probably die of blood loss, but... That's besides the point. They put their bodies on the line back then. Not, let me guess if I'm gonna jump off the cage. Yeah, no. That's some whack stuff.
That is some whack
stuff. The chat over here is going crazy with these dynamic duo things.
I'm telling you. I think
Eminem and Ja Rule.
That should be the theme of this episode. We celebrate our famous dynamic duos. We, honor each other in various...
Fry and Seymour. You got the Doctor and TARDIS, OJ and Nicole.
Who said OJ and Nicole? That guy needs to get banned.
Doing it in the TARDIS. That's who
Doing
said it.
Doing it in the TARDIS. Whitney and Bobby.
Whitney and Bobby.
I think I'm definitely the Bobby in this situation.
No, because I'm alive, so I'm definitely not Whitney. Wow. Doing it in the TARDIS is a dark, one of our darker followers. He put Hitler and Himmler.
I don't know what that is. What's Himmler?
Do you not know?
I don't know who Himmler is.
Heilige Himmler. I think his name is Heim. I don't know. I don't even want to Google search it because just say he was part of the Nazi party.
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah. Barton Milhouse.
I could get down with Barton Milhouse.
No, you couldn't. Ash and
you're
Pikachu.
You're definitely Milhouse.
Yeah, sure.
We just had a conversation when you came in today.
Squiggle said Corey's Robin, right?
That puts you as the perfect Milhouse.
No, see, Milhouse is a pushover. He's not the nice guy.
He's the nice guy pushover.
No.
And that's the same thing. They're synonyms.
No. See, that's where people get it wrong. That's where people get it wrong with the nice guy.
Okay, so let's go back in time. Let's catch them up to speed. We're talking about being the nice guy.
The nice guy is the hard road, everybody.
I wouldn't know.
I would never suggest, like, be nice, yes. But going down the nice guy road is the hard road. It's not the one with all the accolades. You don't get the praise or whatever like that. You're doing it because it's the good thing to do. You make those good decisions and stuff like that. I haven't always gone down the road. You know, we all learn. We're all getting better. We're all being worked on. But it's one of those ones, and like people will take your, you know, kindness for a weakness. But you got to know that's not, you know, you got to not make that the case and stuff like that.
So do you feel like, I don't know, I feel like nice guys get taken advantage of a lot.
Some nice guys do. And the same thing with girls. There's nice girls out there like that too. We're gender neutral here in this area.
All right.
But I think it's a thing where you need to, like I say, I'm optimistic. I tell everybody I'm an optimistic person, but I'm also a realist. Like I know that it's going to be for the best, but I do see the dangers now. You know what I mean?
So I have a theory.
Okay.
And it's about women mostly.
Oh, okay. Here we go. So here's the wrong one.
No, it's not wrong.
All right. Go ahead. No, I'm going to let you speak.
It's not wrong. I heard this is a conversation from me and my wife. There's a friend, and you know the guy.
Okay.
Not well, but he's a very, very nice guy.
Okay.
He
okay.
is like, if you look up nice guy in the dictionary, you bring a picture of this guy.
I probably already know who you're talking about,
spends
but go ahead.
So much of his time like doing charity stuff.
That's a good thing for him. Good on him.
He does all these things. He's clean cut, you know, dresses very nice. Like
Captain America.
He does everything right. Captain America.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, let's go.
And I was like, how is this guy still single? Like me as a morally gray.
Do you know him?
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, do you know him? Not know of him.
I've hung out with this guy quite a few times.
Do you know what his taste is in women?
Or
men, whatever. Again, we're neutral
here.
Neutral.
Right? We're
Sweden.
I'm assuming, yeah, I know what his type would be.
Do you or do you know what his type or what you would want his type to be? Because that's another thing that I've seen a lot of people. They're like, oh, you'd be perfect for that person. Do you know? Because that's...
Well, no, here's the thing. Like, I regardless of what his type is or anything...
That plays a big factor.
The girls were talking. There were ladies talking.
Around him? Single ladies?
Beyonce's?
Yeah. Okay.
A whole hodgepodge. From
okay.
all different all
right.
affiliations.
Okay.
And they said that he's way too nice because they were like, why don't you get with this guy or why don't you talk to him? But why don't you? His name came up in that type of conversation.
Yeah.
And the entire mob were like, no, he's way too nice. He's vanilla ice cream. He's
no, because see, now they're mistaken nice for boring. Is he nice or is he boring?
I think both synonyms.
Okay, so no, that's not synonyms.
Synonyms.
No,
pushover.
No.
Nice. Boring.
No, because I wouldn't say that I'm boring, and I'm definitely on the nice side.
Well, you hang out with me.
Yeah, that's
that steps your life.
That's probably the lesser of the
that gives you some street cred right there.
The thing is, and here's the thing too, that I've kind of noticed about some women, some women I've noticed that they'll say they don't like. The nice guy. He's too nice. I've heard that phrase before. He's too nice and stuff like that. And then, of course, they'll look for somebody that's less nice. But then they complain and they want those traits of the nice guy. And it's just like, so what did you think something else was going to be?
That is the problem. That is the quandary of the nice guy.
Here's the other thing, though. You can flip the coin. For the guys, the same thing. You know, they want a certain type of girl. And then they get with that certain type of girl, but then they want the wild. Yeah, exactly.
The one they watch on the internet.
Exactly. Exactly. And then they get upset when that girl that they got with doesn't want to do all that type of stuff or something like that.
True.
So it
does go both ways.
Yeah, it goes both ways. But the whole nice guy persona or whatever, and this guy that you're talking about, he's probably a good, nice guy. And he probably does not kind of want the same nice girl as him.
I highly doubt it. Successful career man.
You like think he wants the same like nice girl?
I'd assume so.
Yeah, see, you assume so.
I'd have to assume
I'm
so.
I'm telling you, I think he does. I'm not saying he wants the bad girl. He wants the biker chick to come through. He wants Gemma to roll up here, the scar on her chest. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I think he wants a... You know, just down-to-earth girl that, you know, maybe enjoy some of the things that he enjoys.
Well, regardless of what he wants, there's a gaggle of women who think he's too white bread. They think vanilla.
He could be. I don't know. But have they ever spoken to this guy?
Yeah, I'm sure they have.
They have?
They all know him.
Yeah. And they've, you know, hung out with him, you
yep.
know?
Yep.
Did they do the whole Flavor of Love thing where he... Had them all in a big mansion
no.
and was like, let's do these events,
no.
you know, single-handedly. No, no, no. And then I'll hand out a rose at the end of the episode.
No.
Okay, then. So what they know is the little, I guess, limitation or the little interactions that they've had with him and stuff like that. But, I mean, you know how they say the girl could tell whether they'd get with the dude, you know, like kind of the first 3 minutes of talking with the
guy. Do you
think
that's true? Do you think? I mean, I've heard that, too.
I think impressions are important. First impressions are important. You know, I don't know, you know, if you're basing it all off of the first, like, couple of seconds or whatever like that, then that's horrible, I feel. Because if I were to sum somebody up in the first meeting of them, then I've grossly misjudged their entire personality. Because, you know, everybody either puts on for their first meeting or holds back for their first meeting. I don't get the real you.
I think I've told you what the philosophy I grew up with was.
What is that?
When it comes to being the nice guy and women in particular. This is the worst thing to come out of my mouth. Like, this is terrible.
And Chad is going up over this too, but go ahead.
It's absolutely wrong. And I do not believe this. This is not my belief, but this is what I was raised with.
Sure you don't.
I swear to you. I have to preface by saying I grew up in a kind of a twisted house where the rule was, this is from my grandpappy down to my dad. They both said this on separate occasions to me as an impressionable young boy, but this is not the truth. Women are like dogs. The harder you hit them, the more they love you.
That is horrendous.
I know.
Horrendous.
I know. It's so bad.
That is not correct in any aspect.
I do not endorse that. It's like basically leveraging physical, mental abuse.
Yeah, don't.
As a way for women.
The views of Corey.
No, it's not my views.
Do not that's reflect not video game playing as a whole.
I'm just telling you. That's like the far opposite side, the side of like the bad person. So you have this good side and then you have the bad side. And I think the truth is somewhere in the middle.
No, that there's nowhere.
No, don't hit them. Like that's not the middle. I mean, without
they're not like physical dogs, or mental don't abuse. Don't hit them.
Yes.
There's, you know, so I don't think there's any. I think you might as well just discount that whole thing on there. No. Chad is asking a question, though.
Hold on. Drew in the TARDIS says, those are the jokes that your family said. No, those were not jokes.
He said those were real.
That was a way of life on that side of the family. It was terrible.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that family should probably just not give out advice ever.
No. And my grandpa said there's two things you need to remember. Women are bitches and don't do heroin.
Well, 50% right. he's 50% right. I remember I asked my boss, because my boss is he's been married for like a long period of time, and he's got three daughters. And I think we were talking about it in the office about marriage and stuff like that. And he came in and he's like, "Don't get married; it's a scam." It was like, "But you're happily married, you know, for like years and years." And like, it's a whole financial scam. Don't do it. And I'm like, who are these jaded people on marriage that tell the rest of the world like it's just this big scam? Like, it has been over the years, you know, diluted into this whole legal, you know, type of thing. And that's why you see a lot more people now like, "I don't want to get married. Why do we have to," you know, type of weird stuff. But I think it has kind of lost some people, especially what do you call these millennials? Is that the new?
Yeah.
So a lot of the millennials. Yeah, a lot of the millennials seem to think, I think it's lost kind of the actual emotional part, and it's more legal stuff now. And that's why people kind of throw it to the side easier than, you know, than they used to or whatever.
While talking about like the way to a woman's heart, we'll call it. I think that you can't be the true nice guy all the time. I definitely think you can't be mean to them.
So
there's a spot in the middle.
When you mean true nice guy, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about every time they call, you answer. Anytime they need you to take them somewhere, you go. You know, open the doors and
Open every door. Open every
door. It's 2017, bruh.
Open every door. I mean, that's what I've just been. I've you know been what? Taught as a
open.
As a,
open 75% of doors.
No, 100%. You open 100%. You can 50% take them places. I can give you that. Even drop it down to 25. You know, hey, can you take me here?
But you always open the door.
Always open the door.
I don't
for
think
a lady.
So.
Always open the
Did
door.
Did you
for
ever
lady.
See the? What about the test from A Bronx Tale? You remember that? Calogero, you know, the main gangster guy tells them, you know, you take her out.
I vaguely remember it.
You open the door for her, you know, for the passenger seat, shut the door, and if she unlocks your door so that you can get in.
Oh, yeah.
You keep her.
Well, here's the thing. We live in an age, my door unlocks with the button on the side. both our doors are unlocked by the time. So that was definitely an old, 80s, 70s movie or something like that.
Yeah, something.
Or it happened in the olden days. So yeah, you can't do that test anymore. Okay, if we're talking about old tests, my coworker that works with the plants, he said buy a it's a very delicate flower that you have to
orchid?
An orchid, thank you. Yeah. He said, buy an orchid. If she cannot take care of an orchid, she's not a keeper.
Whoa.
That is literally what he said. This dude has been to Nam. He's married. He has like 4 kids.
He's been to Nam.
Yes.
Is where you got me.
Yes.
So he's an old timer.
He is an old timer. And he literally said, Aaron, if she cannot take care of an orchid, she's not a keeper. That is what he said. And I was like, why is that even a thing, my guy? And he was like, they're a very difficult plant to take care of. You know that she'd be nurturing and all this. And he had it locked. Like, this is why, bro. This is it. If you don't get down with that, like, if she can't take care of an orchid, what do you think she's going to do, you know, with anything else in a relationship?
I can't even think about, like, a good test.
Look at that. I didn't even, Sir Butch in chat.
Knew
exactly who it was. Yeah.
I feel like one important thing, like, there's a lot of, like, superstition and, like, religious rules that say don't live with the woman before you're married.
Nah, go ahead.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
I think that's irresponsible not to.
I think you should.
Because ideally, okay, here's the other side. I do believe you should be with someone for either a long period of time or put a ring on it before you make a baby. I just think that's responsible.
You have to be locked
in with this person.
Yeah.
You need to both say, that's my final answer.
You should probably not have a child with somebody that you can't stand being around for a long period of time. Because that child is probably going to be similar to them as well.
So
let's get honest with that.
So before marriage, before you make babies and all that kind of stuff, I think you have to live together. I was with my wife for a long time before we actually lived together. I mean, you think you know a person.
You think you know them.
Until you move in together and you got to figure out this person's toothpaste habits. This person's snore habits.
And yeah,
not that my wife snores. Like, we never had that problem or anything like
just
that.
Just put it under habits the umbrella of habits.
Yeah. If I would have went into the marriage completely blind, we lived together for, you know, it doesn't even have to be for a long time.
No.
We lived together for, I think, maybe 6 months before we got married. And that was the most, like, there was struggles in there. You know, it was all over stupid things, but you figure it out whether you can cope with these things before. And then at the end, you're like, okay, yeah, all right, this is going to work. This one will work. We hammered some stuff out. We got the toothbrush figured out.
Yeah, I think nowadays, though, that stuff, that scares people away. I think it does. I think habits are little quirks. Because everybody is so used to take care of themselves. Everybody is special, you know? You're unique.
You're unique.
You're special. Take care of yourself. I don't think people go into a relationship thinking that, you know, I think people go into the relationship thinking of how this will satisfy me.
Yeah.
Not go into a relationship thinking this is not, you know, a long-term relationship, I should say, you know, borderline marriage. Not thinking that how does this benefit me or how does this satisfy me, but this is us now.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't, you know,
this is us.
Yeah.
NBC.
Yeah, exactly.
Tuesdays at 8.
Exactly. I had a friend ask me a similar question, and I think about relationships and love and something like that. And I was like, in the annals of history, and I'll use you, Corey, in the annals of history, if they rip you out of time and stuff like that, the reason how you would know a trait of Corey, you can say Elizabeth. And be like, oh, well, that's the wife. That's not Corey, but that is a trait along his lineage, along his line, you know, in the makeup, the picture of Corey. Elizabeth is there because she is a part of that.
Yeah.
It's not like this is Corey. Oh, yeah. And then there's, you know, in a little frame on the side, Elizabeth as well, his wife. Like, no, in the picture of Corey, Elizabeth is there.
Yeah. And I found, like, over the years, like, we've completely become new people. Like,
and that's the other part.
Like, we were complete opposites at the beginning. like way opposite. I was a little redneck kid from Rio Linda, and she was like a white girl from Southern California.
She's still a white girl.
Well, she's still a white kid. I'm still a redneck, but she had like this lifestyle that was way different, and she had a different way of thinking, and she was quiet and shy and really organized, and I was loud, annoying, and very messy. And now, like in our house, we keep it relatively clean. Like we think similar. I've become more organized through her. She at work now is like become way more outspoken and independent than
well,
she
yeah,
used to
I
be.
Mean, you're gonna pick up traits from each other over the time. I mean, that's just, you know, you do that with friends as well. And you know, I don't know where I read it, but they were like, people, you know, nobody's the same person after every 10 years. Like, you are a different person.
I think there's like a certain amount of years where like you literally are a different person.
Yeah, you're
like
a different
all
person.
All of your cells and your skin and shit have shed, and you are almost a brand new person.
And no, I don't think anybody even equates for that in a relationship. Like, this person is going to change. I may want to marry this person, this 1990 person right here, but what happens when 2000 comes? What happens when 2010 comes? What happens when 2020 comes? They're not going to be the same person. That way, you know, people change all the time.
But and it sometimes it's extreme.
Exactly.
And does that warrant ever like divorce? Like, I don't think that divorce is a terrible thing. I would avoid it at all costs. I wouldn't want to jump into it by any means. But I know people who are in very abusive relationships where the person changed, was one way, became a completely different way, and it became like relevant to that person's health.
Yeah,
and
no,
well-being to get out of that relationship.
Yeah, that's definitely grounds for that. I don't understand the irreconcilable differences.
What's that?
That's like the number one cause are the people put down on divorce.
Irreconcilable
irreconcilable.
Break that down for me, like I'm 12.
Irreconcilable differences is like me and you could not come to an agreement on something, whether it be money, sex, clothes, the kids. I'm not beating you. You're not beating me. We're not doing drugs or something like that. We could not come to an agreement on something. That's just what it is. We just could not work that out. Now we've irritated each other so much that we want to get a divorce. And we'll put in irreconcilable differences.
That just seems like a scapegoat clause.
That is a huge... Because I'm like, if I make up in my mind that I'm going to marry this person. That means I have already checked down all the lists, you know, of mine. Hopefully she did the same thing in hers. And when we enter this marriage, I mean, we probably already rocking this way, you know, if I'm going to ask her to marry me anyway. But once we, you know, when we get this marriage up and going, like I'm not going to give up on, you know, trying to find some type of compromise with something. Because I take it as it's me and you versus whatever issue. It's not me versus this issue. It's not just you versus this issue. It's us versus whatever obstacle is in our way. And we're going to work at it together. I would hope she has the exact same mindset. And that's what, you know, the whole dating process should kind of build up to. That way you guys know when you're taking this step, then I know no matter what happens, if there is a meteorite that's about to hit the planet, me and you are there to figure out how to stop this thing. If that's our job, of course. You know, if there's anything, like, there will never be a day where it's like irreconcilable differences will go into divorce. She's beating me. I'm beating her. Never would happen. You know, she's at night, she's putting drugs in my, you know, in me. Like, she's hitting me up with heroin each night or something, and I'm waking up high and stuff like that.
God damn.
Then, yes.
You're watching way too many movies.
All that stuff. I've been watching way too much Snapped. That's what that is. Then, yes. That's, you know, where somebody is physically harming another person. She cheated. I cheated. We have emotionally hurt somebody really, you know, that's not a, you can't like put the bricks back on that one. That's cheating is like, no.
What about?
What else? What have you got?
What if like she changes though?
Then and, she, hey.
Like lifestyle changes. What if like the difference is she is a rabid Trump supporter now.
I learned
to
adapt
wants
with to that.
Join the Nazi party.
No, or, see, no, yeah.
What that, if it's something extreme?
If she, first of all,
wants to shave her head.
If she wants to shave her head, you know, hey, you're going for that style.
No, I didn't finish. Shave her head and then move to Germany, though.
Well, Germany wouldn't want her because they want to get away from the Nazi party just as bad as the rest of the world. No, if for some reason that is the case, and that's like, I'm really investigating my wife because there's no switch from just all of a sudden, you know, I married a black guy. Now I think I hate every black person on the planet. Like, something's wrong. Who's mind controlling you, sweetie? Like, and I work to, you know, to figure this out. But
Wait, GSG actually has a more, I guess it's more relevant to his life. And actually this is more realistic than mine. But it's very, very similar in the premise. So he says, what if she wants to just be single? She's uninvested in you, wants to be a club girl, and just she hooked up when she was young and she didn't get a chance to experience the single life. So she wants the D from other people.
I think you should have in a perfect world, I guess. A better world, I guess, you should have ironed out those things in the beginning. Not in the very beginning, but like even if you guys were like a year or two, you know, or a year into the relationship.
In this case, it didn't happen. You jumped into the relationship and then, you know, she's like, I want to experience other things.
If you want to, like if my wife said,
Is Aaron going the open relationship
route? No. Because to me, that's cheating. I'm yours just as much as you are mine. Like we don't belong to each other, but we are, you know, like I said, it's the picture thing. But if you want to go out and club and stuff like that, have fun with your friends. I have married friends that do that. That they'll let either the husband or the wife, they will go out with other girlfriends and they'll go to the clubs, they will dance with other guys, they will do all that stuff. They won't cheat. But they will live that life as if they were, you know, kind of, you know, a little less held down. Now, if you want to go out and actively, you know, like sleep with other people and stuff like that, then you're cheating. Let's face it, because I'm not cool with it. And if you go out and do it, then you're literally, you know, cheating. But if you want to go out and live that single life, I can give my wife the space to do that and let her know that, you know, when you're ready to, you know, or if she wants to do that with me, you know, I can go and experience that with you. I have no problem with that. There's a point, I guess, in your life, like where you might want to grow up out of that. Like, say if we had a kid together and for some reason, you know, we're sitting up there and you're, you know, we both in our late 40s and you're like, I just want to experience a single life. Woman, have you lost your mind? Like, we got two kids we're trying to put through high school right now. You want to do some single life stuff? Okay. I'm going to put you through the ringer then until you're tired and you want to come home and have dinner at 6 o'clock.
It's crazy because yeah. I think it's really like that grass is greener mentality.
It is.
And the like you can't have everything.
And it is. And that's why I'd be open to show her that
too. I think, and you see it in flashes of me and Webb when we're trying to pick girls for you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, if I was single, dude, I'd be tearing it up, bro. What's wrong with you?
No, I see it in a lot of my friends.
And then it goes the other way. I'm sure there's a lot of single people out there who, you know, I know a lot who they're constantly talking about, I can't find nobody. I need a relationship. And then, you know, the single people are made, I would tear it up if I was single. So it's just like, and then the single people, oh, I'd treat them so good. I'd do this. I'd do that. So it's always that grass is greener type.
Yeah. Situation. Everybody always wants that. I had a coworker, she was like, I feel like I kind of want to just be single. You know, kind of the same situation, right?
Yeah.
And she had been with her significant other, I think I want to say 2 years, right? And I was like, why? Why do you want to be? I was like, it's not sweet over here. It's what are you talking about? You know, especially nowadays, because apparently, you know, cheating is the thing to do or something like that, right? So I was like, why do you want to, you know, I just want to have the single life or whatever. She's like, I think our relationship is becoming, I don't know, it's, you know, kind of dulling out or whatever. And I was like, oh, you feel like you're comfortable? And she's like, yeah, that's it. I feel like I'm comfortable. I'm like, isn't that the damn goal? You spend your whole life feeling like the awkward person out. Most of the people, I don't fit in with the crowd. I'm not in the magazines with a whole bunch of people. You find one person that you can be comfortable around and you want to bounce, you're crazy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You've lost your mind. I'm like, they all go. I mean, I'm like, when you get married and stuff like that, you're in the comfort zone. You are comfortable to be who you are. Your actual person, you know, you're farting around the house and that other person is still there.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Do you want to go back to the single life where you holding it in and having the bubble guts all night? Go ahead. Go right on ahead. Go on ahead, sweetie.
Bubble guts is like a new thing. I've heard three people say that in the last 3 months.
Oh, bubble guts?
I'd never heard it before.
That's an old thing, man.
Is it an old thing?
That's an old thing. That's an old Negro spiritual, sir.
Is it?
Yeah.
Julian Ramirez is the first person who told me. When we were flying to Europe, I was like, hey, you want some Starbucks coffee? He was like, no, I don't want to get the bubble guts on the plane.
Yeah, no,
like,
you don't want the bubble guts. You don't want the bubble guts.
There's like, a lot of chat going on right now in this whole, like, now chat is obsessed right now with the idea of open relationships and the polyamorous lifestyle.
If you're good with that, like if you and your partner, I guess, sit down and you're adult. No, I won't even say adult enough because that's not, no, stop it. If you're just good with it, if both of you two are good with it, which I think is a very rare thing, because when you are in a relationship and you're giving yourself to somebody else, that's a very, you know, unique connection. But if you're both good with it, then okay, that's exactly what it is. Just know that a lot of the world doesn't feel the same way, you know, and emotions eventually will play a role in it. Unless you're both like 50, because I feel like really old people just don't care. Like, whatever. Yeah, Susan's banging that gun. I'm banging that one. You know, it's how we keep the love life springing. Good. Yeah. Like, that's what I feel like. But I could be wrong. But I think when you're 20s, 30s, and maybe even, you know, early 40s up to the 45, don't do no open relationship thing, because eventually somebody is probably going to get hurt. And they may be hiding it because they said they were cool with it in the beginning. But I kind of feel like down the road, especially if you're spending a lot of time with that person, like if you're not in a relationship, I guess, and you guys are friends with benefits type of thing, that's still even playing the damn. Nah, I wouldn't recommend it. How about that? I'll just say I would not recommend it. You know, go, you know, do it at your own risk. Put it that way. I'm not down for it. I wouldn't be down for an open relationship. I couldn't do that.
No, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
no. No, it'd be so, I couldn't. I think if that's your thing, more power to you. That's definitely a way to live your life. Chat, they're saying it's a actually I should say Gaming Since Gaming thinks that it's a millennial thing, but
it's not a millennial thing. I see Tommy, that's their bad if they lied about it. People lie to keep the people that they want in their lives. Like, that's not an uncommon concept. Like, I still want you around, so I'm going to lie about this thing, tell you I'm cool with it, just because I want you in my life. You know, that's what it is. That doesn't mean it's not going to hurt them any less later down the line. The brain, I feel, is a very powerful tool to trick you into believing that, you know, anything's possible. Hey, maybe they might change if they go and have this little, you know, phase or whatever. And maybe they'll come back around and they'll just be all mine or something like that. Like, I don't know.
Besides the, you know, people getting hurt and the heartbreak and all that stuff, I think looking at it from a purely logistical standpoint, I think it's so much easier for girls to get laid than dudes.
Oh no! Yeah,
an open relationship, your trade off is as a guy.
Yeah,
is probably going to be like, I don't know. You'll get one chick who's probably not even as attractive as your current, and she'll just be banging, dude.
Yeah,
anyone she wants to. A girl could go to a grocery store and probably just wink at a dude, and then it's on. A guy has to put in work.
You got to watch that Patrice O'Neal because he touches on that so well. He's like. It's like, because not saying like girls are easy, but guys will kind of just go after whatever out there. Like, we'll, you know, like, He said, you don't have to even, a girl doesn't have to be sexy or whatever at all for her to just, he said, she just walks down the street and points down there and goes, ah. And then a guy will look around a guy will just look around like.
And say, show me what you've got.
He'll just be like, a little curious, of course. And then she'll just start yelling, ah, and pointing at it more. And he'll be like, I guess Monster's just giving it up today. So, like, yeah, that's, I would co-side on that one, definitely. I don't know. I mean, unless there's some dude out there that's just like, oh, no, I can get it from.
There's a small percentage of guys who have it like that.
Yeah, it's not a bigger than female, yeah.
There's those dudes who got it like that. Yeah, as a guy who does not have it like that, if my wife comes to me and says, hey, let's do this polyamorous thing, I'm going to say no. No, because it's not going to work the way it's beneficial.
It's, I don't know. They're really going off in chat, too.
This like, is hitting home. This is hitting home for a lot of people.
That's terrible. That's terrible that it is hitting home then. I don't know. Hug your significant other.
It seems like Gaming Since Gaming is taking on the whole chat.
Yeah, I don't know. What's his major thing? I haven't been keeping up with chat. I literally, you know, I'll look down for a couple of seconds, but, you know. But here's it. I think at the end of the day, relationships are difficult. They're all, you know, everybody. There's not one overarch thing that you can put on every woman, every man, and be like, they're all like this, so treat them like this. I think individuals are, you know, you got to cater to that individual. You got to get to know that individual, you know their likes and dislikes and stuff like that. And vice versa. They should know your likes and dislikes. And if you guys can meet up somewhere on there, then you could probably cook for a little while.
Which brings us back around to you, Aaron. Why have you been single for so damn long?
Oh, I'm stupid picky.
So it's all on you.
Oh, yeah. I make no mistakes or no doubts that.
I think you're being too picky.
I think.
Like, when is it enough? When are you ready? Have you mentally prepared? Have you mentally prepared yourself for the thought that perfect person in your head will never come around and you're just going to be Aaron Carter?
Oh, yeah.
Till you die by yourself?
Yeah, I've thought about that. And because I've also thought of, I mean, it's just a lot of factors.
Is there a threshold where you're like, okay, when I hit 50, I'm just just going to throw a rock at whoever I hit.
Because I don't think that would be fair to that girl.
Well, yeah, she doesn't want to get hit with a rock.
Exactly. And I don't think she wants to just be, oh, well, you're settled. All right, Susie, you're settled. You know, that's what I'm doing, you know.
Well, you don't tell them that.
Well, that's
how you bury it deep down inside.
No, because that's starting off the relationship in a lie, and I don't want to do that. Like, what would I do with that, you know? So, I don't know. It's a thing where, I mean, like, I don't feel personally my standards are, like, crazy high. She doesn't have to have, like, some master's degree and, you know, love everything I love and stuff like that. I run into a lot of girls that are, like, really one-side thinking. Like, they are deadlock on their opinions on certain things and no leeways, and that's fine. You know, I respect everybody's, you know, opinions and stuff like that. But, like, if you had to go, say, like, left or right, Democrat, Republican type of thing, you know, I sit somewhere in the middle because I can see both sides.
That's the hardest place to be.
It is, and I told you the nice guy route isn't the road.
Well, that's not even the nice guy. That's just like that's called rational thinking.
Yeah, that's all a part of it.
That's what kills me, dude. I grew up like, okay, there was this, we would do this thing in school. It's a pretty fucked up thing to do to kids when you think about it. But it was in like my government class in like middle school. So we didn't know what abortions were and all. We didn't know these hard button issues.
Really? You didn't?
Well, I mean, I probably maybe knew what it was, but like not near enough to make a decision.
We knew that since birth. Because you mean you survived.
You were a survivor.
You survived. That's what it was. You could have been aborted, sir.
But you made us take this test. It was like 100 questions. And then, you know, it gives you a score at the end, and the teacher goes up on the whiteboard. She draws a big old chart, and you go and put yourself, your initials, on the spectrum where you are. And, of course, it was left and right. And my dot was, like, right in the fucking middle of the thing. And there were some other people in the middle too, but it was largely right or left. And I think the teacher was doing it just because to tell what everyone's parents were.
Okay.
Because you get that. I think you get a lot of that from your parents. And my parents actually didn't seem to care. Like I wasn't in a family where we talked about politics at all.
It's same with mine. Yeah.
I don't think it was like a thing. My parents were always low income. You know, we were. You know,
well, I mean, like that type of stuff doesn't really come up in, you know.
We knew the struggle.
It doesn't come up in the struggle. You just kind of, you got to worry about, you know, what you're eating next. Yeah. So it's not like, damn, Reagan, you messing up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you probably are, but where am I going to get that loaf of bread tomorrow for, you know, the family? So, yeah, I didn't have, my mother, she didn't have conversations with me like that. It was all school focused. You got to, you know, concentrate on, you know, that. My mom, the quote that I remember my mom, and it sticks with me, and I'll probably pass it on to my kids and all that type of stuff, is literally the simplest thing. It was, if a man doesn't work, a man doesn't eat. So that's all you need to do, basically.
Damn. Was your mom Ted DiBiase?
Probably.
You don't do the job,
but it was,
you don't get paid.
It was a thing where, you know, as soon as you came of age in the Carter family, you don't work, you don't eat then. Okay, that's how, you know, that's how you live. But when it came to everything else, you know, hey, you know, I'll give you advice from here to there if you have a question, but you'll learn on your own. It's almost as if, like, when I played World of Warcraft for the first time and I was always asking help. I was a warrior. I was asking help from every warrior. Because all my friends, Steven, Javier, Jerry, they would ask help from, you know, other classes, hunters, rangers, all that type of, you know, crap. And they would get people to help them. Oh, let me mentor you, young ward, and stuff like that, and getting all these free loot and gear and crap. I ask a warrior, hey, you know, can I, you know, how do I do this? You're a warrior. Figure it out. That's basically what it was.
Damn.
That's how, you know.
No coddling.
Yeah, there was no coddling. It was a thing, but always, above always be kind. That's my,
yeah,
my
that's
mother
important.
Always taught me, no matter, you know, you love everybody, which growing up is a hard thing to do. Hard thing to do, because, you know, you get that in, like, you know, this person is just evil. You know, you're supposed to still love everybody. Love everybody and do not, what did she say? Do not celebrate over your enemy's loss.
Oh, no, that's rule number one, baby. As soon as your enemies fall, you laugh in their face.
Yeah, that's why I just grew up not having enemies. That way I didn't have to deal with that.
I think I hate being kind of in the middle because, like...
You don't want to be one-to-one full side, though.
I don't know. I used to go to, like, church quite a bit. As a youth.
Okay, me too.
And, you know, for the most part, I loved the stuff they talked about. You know, I was digging it, man. I like the...
Oh, see, that's the difference between me and you.
Being charitable. I like the...
You paid attention.
I paid attention. Yeah, I like, did pay attention. No, I paid attention.
Yeah, it was a lot of... I was a little kid, so I was always bored. I got the gist. Like I said, love everybody, you know, but... I was always bored.
I dug the music, everything. I was really, I enjoyed it. I liked the people. Everything was cool. But then occasionally, those conversations would come up about stuff like not living with anyone until you're married. And like, I grew up at that church, and then I moved in, you know, about 6 months before we were engaged. So we were like pretty serious. So we moved in together and we had a date. Everything was arranged. And I got called into a meeting at the church, which was strange because I wasn't a member of like the leadership. I would just play drums. They'd call me up and I'd like to play the drums for them.
Uh-huh.
And then I got called in for a meeting that, you know, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. I wonder what they want to talk about. And they removed me from the team.
Why?
They're like, you can't play drums here anymore.
And they give you a reason?
They said the elders came together and then, you know, we heard you guys, you moved in with Elizabeth.
And you guys had elders?
Yeah. No.
Skyrim?
No, it had like, I don't know, maybe elders is the wrong term. It was like a board or something like that. The board of directors. I don't know. It's some like, they make decisions for the church and they're like, well, we think what you're doing is living in sin.
Oh, okay. So they were passing judgment.
Sorta, yeah. And
it
so
wasn't sorta. It was if they kicked you off, they were passing judgment on you.
They booted me, and I was kind of like hurt because I was like I wasn't getting money. Like I know I'm the best drummer you have, and I like it, and you're pushing me away at this point. Like
here's the thing.
I thought that was like a rule. Yeah, like, no. You don't alienate and push them away because it's like
that's why it's kind of hard. You know, that's definitely a hard, especially if you grew up, you know, in a religious, you know, thing. Because it's like you understand the positive values that they try to instill, but then there's that mighty judgment that comes at you, and nobody likes to be judged, you know, and it's. I think that's where I've kind of learned to just kind of
even as a kid, I was kind of like standoffish to the idea of church leadership groups like that. Like I was in the youth and I was there for quite a while. I was becoming one of the older kids at that point. And the pastor said, like, we want to have like the youth leadership. And these are the people that would help organize events and, you know, do things like that. And there's like a monthly pizza party just for the leaders and stuff like that. And I was approached and asked by a couple of my friends who were in it and the pastor himself. And I was like, yeah, I'm down to do it. Whatever. Just tell me where to be and when. And they're like, well, actually, we have to sign your name on this form. We need your signature. And I read it. It was like a 2-pager.
It was a contract?
It was a contract. It was a contract of you will not engage in this, that, and the other thing. And this
I'm like, well, honestly, Father, I engage in like 7 of these on a daily basis.
You know, pretty much. You know, it's just like, I won't drink alcohol. I won't do this, that. Some good stuff in there, too.
Here's the thing I think you should do.
I told them, though. I was like, I will help you. You tell me where to be. You tell me when to show up, you know. And I will help you to the best of my ability. But I will not sign that paper. And they're like, well, you're not going to the pizza party. And I was like, well, fuck, I won't eat pizza that day. Like, that's okay.
I'd be like, do you have the supply of pizza on this planet?
Actually, I will have pizza. Yeah. Where are you going to be?
With my own box. Like, this pizza is good. And it's all mine, everybody. Because I didn't sign that paper. I think I have a friend who he hates anything that separates. So politics, religion, race, you know, he hates it, like dislikes all that stuff. We agree on that to a point. I don't hate these things. I learn how these things can all exist together: race, religion, politics. It's the same. That's how it is. So it's not like I'm going to discount all of it because it separates. I'm going to learn, and I'll bring it back into gaming because we're supposed to be a gaming
podcast. Yeah, that's right.
In Fallout New Vegas, you have the different tribes and stuff like that, right? The different factions. I wasn't content with one faction disliking another faction, and that way I couldn't do missions for the other one.
Yeah.
So I found ways to make sure that those factions join together. There was the faction of those like biker guys. I can't remember. Somebody in chat will probably know. But they hated the California Republic because there was like a massacre or something like that happened between them. I found a way to make sure that those groups would work together. And that's kind of why I really liked that gang, because it showed if you have a difference, you know, differences, and you have some type of beef, you should be able to overcome that. Like that, it shouldn't be a thing where it's, you know, so polarizing that we're never going to get, you know, over this. So, I mean, playing the game like that, it really was like, this, I liked how they handled it, you know. I mean, of course, they had, of course, those just dead set evil factions that are like cannibals and stuff like that, like, you know.
Yeah, if we learned anything from this entire podcast is that everything we've talked about, if you're a cannibal, all that stuff goes out the window.
Yeah,
get a divorce well. If you're married.
If you come
to a cannibal,
home and your spouse is eating people,
a human being.
Yeah, not just a human being. What if she was eating Chewy? You came home, you're
the dog.
Yes.
Oh, I'd lie if I said I didn't think about it.
That's horrible.
But like a human being, that's a cannibalistic thing.
Yeah, that's still disgusting. I think all of it is still disgusting. So, you know, That's where that is.
And wow, yeah. Chat! It really.
I know. I was trying to.
I'm trying to keep up with all this gaming since gaming drama.
Yeah, I don't know. He seems like he's a.
Should we have him call in? He has the Discord. Maybe post show give people a reason to tune in. Video game bang, twitch.tv/video_game_bang.
I don't even know what they're talking about in the chat. We've been so random tonight, all over the place, that, you know,
it reminds me of the old days. This is like our first few episodes.
This is literally the, you know, if anybody listens to this one, they'd be like, is this about video games?
This is back to basics.
We've said maybe two things about video games.
Well, we can talk a little bit about video games. San Francisco Shock, we announced our name today.
So, is that all you announced?
We showed the logo.
Okay.
All that stuff.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
No paraphernalia?
No.
Okay.
Nothing like that. It was pretty mixed response.
What do you mean mixed?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I knew going into this announcement, it was going to be one of the most polarizing announcements we did. Like, when we did the roster, it was super easy because we got... like really sick players who all work together and they're well respected and loved. So that's like one thing. But when you announce a name, no matter what that name is, you're going to get positive and negative feedback in like, and then a in extremes and then a bunch in the middle, just because when you're building a league and you know all the teams are going to have new names, mm-hmm. you start thinking in your head, oh man, I wish it was this. I think it should be the San Francisco Gatekeepers. I think that would be tight. And then, you know, you start talking about it online and there's speculation. So ultimately, if it's not the thing you want, you're going to kind of be disappointed. And the level of your disappointment varies. I think for the most part, people dig it. It's a nice name, man. It rolls off the tongue. San Francisco Shock. It looks dope on the... I'm stoked. And a lot of people were too. But then there was this... that huge.
What did they want though? Did you see some like retorts like, oh, you guys should have been this like solid?
A lot of people entrance? Wanted us to be like the San Francisco Energy, but it all spelt out or something like that. Like that was going to get around the
did
rules.
They want to keep the Energy like logo or something or like branding? Is
well,
that what they were looking for?
That's a rule in Overwatch League they can't do. Like all the teams that are coming in, they have to change the name and the logo.
So they had to be just unique. Fresh and brand new, right?
Yeah, and it okay. would have been kind of shitty of us if we were like, yeah, let's just cheat the rules. We're going to spell out Energy, you know? It yeah. just wouldn't have been... Why? It would have been pointless.
I mean, you're not going to please everybody.
I could tell you for sure, and this is leaks, boys, but Shock was not the original choice.
But it was Disney.
Yeah,
we wanted to be the San Francisco Disneys. Yep.
But, you know, circumstances got in the way. We changed. We called an audible, and... I think Shock is a cool name. I dig it.
I don't see anything wrong with Shock. Shock is fine.
No, it's great. And at the end of the day, it's about the players. You know, as long as it's not a name that's bad, you know, you're getting behind it because we're supporting, you know, the Bay Area.
Did anybody think the Cavaliers was a good name?
No, that's why they called the Cavs.
Yeah, exactly. 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 Nobody calls them the freaking Cavaliers.
But I know we're doing like a hashtag challenge, so if you're watching this or listening to this and you want to keep up with the stuff that my company is doing, you can follow us on Twitter now, @SFShock, and we're doing a hashtag thing, so we want to get ideas for what our official hashtag should be, so come up with something. There's been some good ones. Get Shook was a pretty good one.
Oh, #GetShook.
#GetShook. Hashtag like Thunderstruck was one. Hashtag... one of my favorites was To Kill a Shooking Bird.
Stop that. Like to... No, Get Shook is good. Get Shook is good.
You like Get Shook?
Yeah, I like Get Shook. Because, I mean, it feels like a bad... It's a sport thing.
Yeah.
You know, oh, he just got shook up on the court.
Get Shook.
Yeah.
I go, like it. Go stay, with what it. About Stay Shook?
No, because you don't want to stay shook. No. No, you want to, you know, get shook and then that's it. You don't want to stay shook. Do you want to stay having the bubble guts?
No.
No. Exactly.
It's been a great show, man. I like this. I guess we should have maybe started off the show, but we like to leave you guys depressed. So we're thinking about David. He'll probably be back on the show next week. He's going through some family stuff.
Yeah, he'll be back.
No, he's definitely going to be back, but he's going to take some time away to deal with some stuff. I'll let him talk
yeah,
about
yeah,
it
let
if
him
wants
if
to.
He wants,
but,
yeah.
you know, send him some love on Twitter. Give him a follow @ Real David Webb.
You can send some flowers to his vasectomy doctor on, yep. You know, I'll give out the address in chat.
He definitely needs the Twitter followers because I just passed his ass.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many do you guys have, respectively?
About 1,100 something. Okay. I just passed him. So.
I guess.
Suck it, David Webb. Wow. I feel bad for you, but suck it.
That's terrible.
For Aaron Carter and Corey Vincent, you just got banged.